قريب إن شاء الله. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحاب سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. وقال تعالى، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنا أنزلناه في ليلة القدر وما أدراك ما ليلة القدر. ليلة القدر خير من ألف شهر. تنزل الملائكة والروح فيها بإذن ربهم من كل أمر. سلام هي حتى مطلع الفجر. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، من قام ليلة القدر إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والتسليم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. Indeed, all praise are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sustainer of the world. And we send durood and salam, peace and salutations upon our noble master Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali wa ashabi Sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadu wa barik wa sallim. The greatest bounty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could possibly confer upon any person is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses a person with iman. For the simple reason that if a person leaves this world with iman, then forever and ever that person is successful. But if a person is to leave this world without iman, then forever and ever, time immemorial, that person is unsuccessful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His infinite kindness, grace and mercy, has blessed us all with iman. And in the light of a hadith, this is a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that as far as the entities of this world are concerned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants it to all and sundry, whether Allah loves a person or not. But iman is only given to a person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. And it's only right that if someone indicates their love for us, that we reciprocate this love. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with this through His love for us. We need to reciprocate and pay back this love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how do we do that? It's simple. We just need to love our lives the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to love it. So Allah ta'ala mentions in the ayah of the Quran al-Karim I've recited, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. Guide us on the straight path. And each and every person makes this dua every day. How many times? Asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Allah, guide us. O Allah, guide us. In response to this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran itself, فَبَشِّرْ عِبَادِ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلَ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَ أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَاهُمُ اللَّهُ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. Give glad tidings to those servants of mine who listen attentively when anything is told to them. فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَ. The good advice that is given to them to the best of their ability, they practice upon it. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَاهُمُ اللَّهُ. Allah Ta'ala says, these are the people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides. So we're asking for guidance on the one hand, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us how to get this guidance. When someone tells us some good things, let us listen carefully and attentively, not only here, anytime. Thereafter, to the best of our ability, we'll try to practice it. Allah says these people are on guidance, and not only that, وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. These are the intelligent ones. And in another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in response to us asking Allah ta'ala for guidance, وَإِن تُطِيعُوهُ تَهْتَدُوا. If you follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you obey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, تهتدوا, then you will be guided. So two things. One, we listen carefully, we act upon what is being told to us. And secondly, follow the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we do these two things, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guarantees us guidance. So whenever someone tells us something of the Quran al-Kareem, a hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or we're sitting in a discourse, etc., and we are listening, Our intention to be should be to listen and to act upon whatever is being told to us as well. Not only here, as I mentioned, but everywhere else, whenever we hear discourses of the deen of Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all tawfiq, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in blessing us with this iman, desires something from us. Iman is to have full conviction in whatever Allah ta'ala says and what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says. Not merely knowing it. Hazrat Mawlana always gives the example. Everyone knows how many salahs are farz. So everyone will say five salahs are farz. Alhamdulillah. Ask the next question. How many do you read? Then the person feels offended. How many rakats are there in Isha Salah? 17 rakats. In the exam also we'll get the full marks. But how many do you read? That's the question. So this iman is something that a person has with full conviction in his heart, not merely knowing something. And the yardstick for measuring a person's iman is the life of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. This also Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran Kareem. فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدْ اِهْتَدَوْ. If your iman is like that of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, then know well you are on guidance. So if we need to follow something, we need to learn something, how was this done? If we look at the life of Sahaba, that is the way we should have done it and we would have done it and we must do it. Contrary to this, we have the life of the Munafiqeen. In the first Surah Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the first few ayahs the conditions of the believers. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ etc. Then Allah ta'ala mentions two or three ayat about the kuffar. And then the entire next ruku, Allah Ta'ala dedicates to the munafiqeen. And what is one of the traits of these munafiqeen? Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ آمِنُوا كَمَا آمَنَ النَّاسِ. When it is told to them that bring iman the way Sahaba radhiallahu anhum have iman. So if you tell someone Sahaba done this this way, how do they respond? Or if someone tells me, what's my response? Let's hear what the story of the munafiqeen was. Allah Ta'ala says, when it is told to them to bring iman the way the Sahaba radhiallahu anhum brought iman, they respond by saying, "Anu'minu kama amana as-sufaha." Shall we believe the way the fools believe? Regarding Sahaba radhiallahu anhum as fools, Allah save us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds on behalf of Sahaba radhiallahu anhum, and Allah ta'ala says, "Allah, listen very carefully. Innahum humus sufaha'u walakin la ya'lamun." These are the people who are the foolish ones, but they do not know it. So to put it into context, when anyone tells me something about the Islam, about the Sharia, about the way Sahaba radhiallahu anhum done things, easy for me to understand the level of my iman is to see how I respond. Either the way Sahaba radhiallahu anhum responded, and how did Sahaba respond? Just give one or two examples. A Sahabi is sitting in the company of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sees a gold ring on his finger. So Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asks him, what's this? So he takes it and gives it to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam examines it and says, this gold is not permissible for the males of this ummah. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam throws the ring one side. Anyway, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam continues whatever the discussion is. And after the majlis is over, like we say, everyone starts going and leaving the place. So this person also, this sahabi also leaves. So one of his friends come and ask him, why don't you go pick up this ring? What about this ring of yours? So this is the response. He says, how can I possibly take something that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam threw away? We will all excuse us. We can find it, for use it for someone else or something, or sell it or something. But this Sahaba radhiallahu anhu was the obedience to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In the battle of the trench, Hazrat Hudhayfa radhiallahu anhu is mentioning that because it was very cold, ill-equipped, dark nights. The hadith mentioned it was so dark that the Buddha cannot even see his hand before his face. So when Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was walking about between Sahaba radhiallahu anhu, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would ask him, what's your name? Who are you? How are you? What are you doing? Etc. And he comes to Huzaifa radhiallahu anhu and he says, who are you? So Huzaifa radhiallahu anhu responds, he says, I am Huzaifa. And Huzaifa radhiallahu anhu mentions that at that moment in time, from all Sahaba radiallahu anhum, I was basically the most ill-equipped. Although it was a dark, cold night, I only had one sheet over my body.
And this also belonged to my wife. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, Huzaifa, go and find out what is happening there by the enemy lines. So he says that I was the most ill-equipped. If I was there, what would I say? I'll say, no, Nabi Sallallahu, this person got a nice shawl. This person is a bad jacket, same thing. Why didn't you send him? Immediately he stands up and he goes. And Nabi Sallallahu makes dua for him. And immediately he finds it peace and solace in the dua of Nabi Sallallahu, and he goes and finds out whatever Nabi Sallallahu wants him to do. So Sahaba radiallahu anhu, whenever Nabi Sallallahu says anything, immediately they will accept. And not only accept, immediately respond positively to whatever Nabi Sallallahu is saying. So this should be our condition as well. The incident is mentioned in the books of hadith when Suratul Lahab was revealed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the revelation of Surah Lahab mentions Tabbat yada li lahabi wa tab, that Allah ta'ala tells Abu Lahab for whatever had transpired before that. So he had two sons, Utbah and Utaybah. They were in the nikah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's two daughters, Ruqayya and Ummi Kulthum radiallahu anhumah. So when this happened, when the surah was revealed, he went to his son, Utbah and Utaybah, and he told them that if you really want to please me and make me happy, you will divorce the daughters of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So obviously the children will obey their parents. Utbah went and he told Ruqayya, you know, I'm separating myself from you. Not a problem. Utaybah on the other hand went in the front of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's daughter is there. So he tells her that I hate you, I hate your father, and I hate this deen. And then he ripped out the kurta of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he tore it. So at that time Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua, Allahumma sallit alayhi kalba min kilabik, aw kama qal, oh Allah, send one of your wild dogs upon this person. So as soon as he heard this, Abu Talib was there around, because he was always near Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he realized, what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said is definitely going to happen. Abu Lahab also, who was not only a person that was neutral, an arch enemy of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, realized this was the dua of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So I can't let this dua fall on me. So he decided that we're going on a caravan tour. Trip, we'll go to Syria, do some business there until everything goes off, and then we'll come back. So they made arrangements and they were on the way, and he told these people, all the people in the caravan, that when we stop anywhere, then what you're going to do is that good that we have, we'll stack all the goods up, and my son Utaybah will sleep on top and everyone else will sleep around the goods. So this was their plan, to save them from the words of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Anyway, they continued to stay somewhere for the night. So as they had planned, this is what they done. Utaybah went on top and he slept there. The narration mentions that a lion came that night there and was sniffing around every person. Whoever was there at the bottom sniffed, he smelled, this is not the person I'm looking for. Until he realized, Allah Ta'ala had put it in the mind of that lion that there is one person on top. So he jumped on top of this whole caravan's belongings and found Utaybah there. And he ripped off his head. So the reason we're mentioning this is simple, that these people, they were the enemies of Islam, arch enemies of Islam. Yet whatever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, they had full conviction. We, iman, believers, as I mentioned in the very beginning, our iman demands that we accept whatever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, without question. Whatever Allah ta'ala says, whether I understand it or not, whether I believe it or not, whether I can see it or not. Allah mentions in the Quran Kareem, one example we'll give, يَمْحَكُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى وَيُرْبِ الصَّدَقَاتِ. As far as interest is concerned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wipes it out. And as far as sadaqah is concerned, Allah ta'ala says, Allah ta'ala increases it. But what happens if I give a person 50 rand and I tell my 170 rand back? According to me, it's increasing. I can see it's increasing. The accountant is also saying it's increasing. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that is something that is totally wiped out. What is my iman status? What do I do? And wa yurbi sadaqat, Allah ta'ala says, a person gives charity, it increases. I know when I'm giving, my money is getting less. I have 100 rand, I give someone 10 rand, I only got 90 rand left. I can see it's getting less. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying it is increasing. So demand of my iman is, I can see wrong, but whatever Allah says and what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says can never be wrong. So this is what Iman demands. And if you look at life of Sahaba radiallahu anhum also, in simple things, whatever Allah said we accept, whatever Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said we accept. We'll just mention one or two incidents. So once a blind Sahabi, sitting in his house, like we say a person had a house, he's sitting in his house with another companion of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and someone knocks at the door, and it transpires that there's a beggar here. So this person understands there's a beggar there. In his room where he is, he had perhaps a basket or something where he would keep things that he would give to beggars. And from the room where he was till the door of the house, he had a rope or a string tied. So he took something from this basket, he followed the string till he came to the door, and then he gave it to the beggar. So his friend, the other Sahabi, was asking him, that why did you do this? In our terms, you say, I'm there, you could tell me to give it. You got children, you got a wife, they could give it. So he says, I've heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that a person who personally goes and gives a beggar something, Allah ta'ala will save him from an evil death. In other words, he's got this full conviction, no matter what happens, that's what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if I do this, I know I'm going to be saved from an evil death. In another incident, it is mentioned, most probably Abdullah bin Mas'ud, ready for correction. He was with Sahaba radiallahu anhu, and someone came there begging also. And he asked this person, are you a Muslim? He said, yes, I'm a Muslim. He says, what do you want? So he says, I need a garment to wear. So he went inside, took a garment and gave it to this person. And then he told the Sahaba radiallahu anhu around there that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I heard Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that a person who gives a fellow Muslim a garment to wear, he will be in the protection of Allah as long as one single strand of that garment is on his body. So to me and you, that doesn't make sense. How can giving a person a garment grant me protection? Doesn't make sense. But Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this, that's why I am doing it. So all these words and things of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam are such that everything is a means of guidance for us. Sometimes due to our puny intelligence, we cannot understand it. But what Allah Ta'ala says, Allah is the creator, Allah is the nourisher, Allah is the sustainer. Allah is the provider and Allah is our protector. Allah made us. Allah knows what's good for us. Allah knows what's bad for us. Regarding this, alhamdulillah, in the holy month of Ramadan. And every time we hear people saying, last year so many people were with us, they're not with us this year. Two people passed away just before Ramadan started. Allah Ta'ala has given us this opportunity, a Mubarak day, on Jummah also in Ramadan. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions in a hadith that I've recited in the beginning, مَنْ قَامَ لَيْلَةَ الْقَدْرِ إِيمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. That person who stands in prayer on the night of Qadr, on the night of power, will have all his previous sins forgiven. So this month of Ramadan, one of the objectives everyone here to create, inculcate within yourself is quality of taqwa. But at the end of the month of Ramadan, a person should get the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Perhaps in the beginning of the month or preceding the month, ta'aleem was read. A hadith was mentioned wherein Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that every night of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frees 1 million people from Jahannam. And on the last night, as many ways were freed throughout the year, throughout that month, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will free. So 29 or 30 million on the last night. Did I ever take out time to say one night, oh Allah, just make me among that million today? Those that are fleeing from Jahannam, oh Allah, make me among them. Yesterday we heard, sometimes we need to hear about the punishments in the fire of Jahannam also, so we can understand what it is. So this Jahannam is no plaything. In the hadith it is mentioned, Rasulullah said, the lightest form of punishment that will be given to a person in Jahannam will be a person who will be made to wear shoes of fire. And because of this, it will cause his brains to boil. He will think, he's under the impression that this is the worst punishment, but this is the lightest punishment. So when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells us about things happening in the Akhirah, thing that's very common now, and perhaps each and every person is involved in it. Why? Because it's so common. A person got a phone, he's got a camera on the phone. So regarding this, consider the story of Utbah and Utaybah. What Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, he had full conviction. Ya Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's saying, Inna ashadda an-nasi azaban yawm al-qiyamati al-musawwirin. The people will get the most severe punishment. We mentioned what is the lightest punishment. Ya Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's saying, the person who will get the most severe punishment will be the picture makers. So this might seem something light. What difference will I make when I take the photo or not? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we study this photography, etc., it's actually the person trying to imitate the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So another hadith mentions regarding this, on that on the day of Qiyamah, whatever pictures a person took, a person made, drew, etc., those things will be given life, and then he will be punished with those very things. So what happens in this world, normally a person will take a photo of my child, first time he's walking, or my wife, whatever he's taking a photo of, and now we find those very things that we take the photo of are a means of punishment for us. In other words, besides physical punishment, emotional punishment is also there. I love this person so much, how can they be punishing me? Just one example we're giving. As far as this belief is concerned, in the words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, many a time people scoff at it, to use a good word. So someone is sick in the house, and the child went to the madrasa and he learned the hadith. Fi fatihatil kitab shifa min kulli da. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in Surah Fatiha, there's a cure for every sickness. And the child comes home and someone got a headache, or someone broke their leg or something, and he says, you know what, we learned this in the madrasa, that in Surah Fatiha is the cure for all sicknesses. If my child has to come and tell me that, how will I respond? What do I say? Think about it. This is the word of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Person got a headache, I need to get a Desperan, or I need to get a Panado or something, that's going to help the person. But the words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's something wrong with my iman. Da'u mardakum bi sadaqah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in another hadith, they treat your sick by giving sadaqah. Again, here, this doesn't make sense. A person is sick, I supposed to use money to go buy him some medication. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, give that money out for sadaqah, and this is how you will treat your sick people. Doesn't make sense. Again, the level of my iman is decided by how much conviction I have in the words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not how much I know of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the Quran al-Kareem, Allah ta'ala mentions regarding the mushrikeen, most probably, يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. They recognized Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they knew Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the way they knew their own children. Like a person has few children, this one's favorite color is this one's favorite sweet is this one likes to do this. They knew Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a Nabi. They even gave him the titles of As-Sadiq and Al-Amin. But they did not have this conviction. So knowing is not sufficient. We need to have full conviction in our hearts. What Allah Ta'ala says, what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, and then my iman is on par. Also one important thing worth mentioning, that this world of ours, every day we are listening here, that we're going to leave this world one day. Kullu nafsin dhaiqatul maut. Every person is going to die. Wa inna daru al-akhirata lahiya al-hayawan. The life of the year after, that's the actual life for a believer. So regarding this, one sahabi came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, among 10, and he says, I asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Man akyasu an-nas wa ahzamu an-nas? O Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell me who is the most intelligent and most prudent of men. And Allah ta'ala reward all sahaba radhiyallahu anhum for these questions. Had they not asked these questions, we would not have known the answers. So he asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the most intelligent of person? In our life, if you ask a person, they'll say a professor, a person who got this degree, etc. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, and again, we have to understand who is saying this, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. النَّبِيُّ أَوْلَى بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ. In the tafsir it's written, وَهُوَ أَبُوهُمْ. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has more rights over us than we have over ourselves, and in the tafsir it's mentioned he is regarded as their father. So what's the condition of a father of a person? A person has a shop and he has competitors. Always you want to outdo the competitors. Sports also, a person wants, my competitors mustn't be coming near me also. Politics, exactly the same. But as far as the son is concerned, The father always wants what's best for the son. So sometimes you don't understand it. It's exam times and the father says, go study whole night. Don't worry about your plans. They're playing soccer. The child don't understand. I need to be outside with everyone else. But the father is doing this out of compassion, knowing that this is going to help the child in the end. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is like a father to us. What advice he is giving to us, sometimes we can't understand it's for our good. But at the end of the day it is. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, أَكْثَرُهُمْ ذِكْرًا لِلْمَوْتِ وَأَكْثَرُهُمْ إِسْتِعْدَادًا لِلْمَوْتِ قَبْلَ نُزُولِ. Intelligent person are those people who in abundance they remember death. Nowadays if you speak about death, what do people say? Change the subject. Don't talk about that. Whereas this is the reality. The greatest reality is a person is going to die. A person who doesn't believe in Allah also, he knows I'm going to die. People who believe in every other being besides Allah, they know we're going to die. English also they say as sure as death. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, constantly remembering death and preparations for death, this will indicate to us when a person is an intelligent person. In another hadith he says, كُنْ فِي الدُّنْيَا كَأَنَّكَ غَرِيبٌ أَوْ عَابِرُ سَبِيلٌ. This world we should be like a traveler. And for us sitting in itikaf, it's very easy to understand. We came here to sit for itikaf. We know after 10 days we're going to be going back. So no person comes here for itikaf and starts the tent where he is sitting. He starts bringing decorations, putting a nice chandelier there or bedroom suite, etc. Why? I know I'm going to something else. This is just a passing stage. So exactly like this, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say, my life in this world is exactly like this. I'm a stranger or a person crossing a road. Abiru Sabil, one translation of Abiru Sabil is a person crossing the road from one side to the other side. So we know your person is going to cross the road. No person takes his time walking, looking this side, that side. As soon as he can get to the other side, he will do that. He's not worried to see how many stones are here in the road. There's some coins laying down here, etc. Immediately he'll try to get on the other side. So my life in this world is exactly like that. I should be preparing for the Akhirah. And then one more hadith Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, مَنْ أَحَبَّ دُنْيَاهُ أَضَرَّ بِآخِرَتِهِ وَمَنْ أَحَبَّ آخِرَتَهُ أَضَرَّ بِدُنْيَاهُ. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that person who loves this world and do things, everything only for this world. His entire life is hankering after this world. In the year after, he'll have to endure some loss. And on the converse, وَمَنْ أَحَبَّ آخِرَتَهُ أَضَرَّ بِدُنْيَاهُ. A person who loves and works only for the year after, in this world he'll have to endure some loss. Sometimes you're not going to have time with your family. Sometimes you're not going to have the wealth you desire. There's going to be a loss for you. And then Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gives us advice. As I mentioned previously, the advice of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, like a father for his son. He says, فَآثِرُوا مَا يَبْقَى عَلَى مَا يَفْنِي أو كما قال. That my advice to you is, give preference to that which is everlasting over that which is temporary. And intelligence will also tell us that. Exam time, everyone knows. 1-2 weeks, there's no sports, a child's not going out, you're not meeting your friends, everything there. If I study for this week, or this, even for one day, this one night, if I study, my whole night's sleep will go. But if I pass, I'm going to go to the next grade. So exactly the same. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put us in this world. This world is created for us. فَإِنَّ الدُّنْيَا خُلِقَتْ لَكُمْ. But we have been created for the year after. So all our efforts, whatever we are doing, what is necessary we're going to use. But our effort should be to take us to our final abode. And we read every day about the shofar watan. That a person should have this burning desire for my original abode. And that is the Akhirah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all tawfiq inshallah.